This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. To you be all the glory, all the honor. We honor and adore you, and we are gathered together unto you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for you and your Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Tonight we are going to have a short continuation of the review from last week. So with Jesus joining our hearts, I want to welcome the first person who will be speaking to us, Pastor Timmy Owigbe. God bless you, sir.
Good evening, church. Last week, most of the emphasis was on the legalism Satan used to war each generation, and we're able to see from Adam, set of the sons of God, the church in the wilderness, and also the New Testament church, which is actually a woman that should carry seed. We saw that when Satan attacked Adam's seed, the Lord had to look for a woman that can carry his seed. Interestingly, to attack the church, Satan also, in his wisdom, he brought forth a woman. And to attack the woman that is the church and the seed that she's carrying, you know, those were reverence, labor on day three morning. And it was showing us different ways that the woman, which is this world, we saw it in Revelation 16, Revelation 17, this world, we in our clothing, scarlet, purple. For me, it's very interesting that the theme was the witnesses men wondered at. And then you see that the woman Satan also raised to war against the woman that God has raised, or God is raising with a seed. That woman is also to be wondered at. Dwayne Johnson, I said that I wondered with great admiration. So we see that what Satan decked that woman with is actually fake of what the church should bear. And if the church is not careful, the church will run after what the woman is carrying. And that what the woman is carrying is called iniquity. And that was reverence labor. Reverence labor was on the mystery of lawlessness. How Satan wants to legally bring in iniquity to the church. He wants to impregnate the church with illegalism, with lawlessness. And he wants to do it on a very legal ground, where by the time you reason some of these things, you will not be able to war against it. And Reverend was able to show us from different angles the warfare, how Satan seduced the church, how Satan causes the woman and her daughters to fornicate with the church. Interestingly, one of the things that caught my attention is the question of the spirit of this age is how Satan war with the church. Because if Satan can win the church, he has won the generation. He has won the nation. He has won everything. Church is the last defense against Satan, against his attack, against his onslaught. And one of the questions, one of the things he's putting in everybody's heart is that thing of questioning everything. And I just saw how innocently on innocent that question why has to do with bringing in Satan's agenda. You know, they ask you to do something, and the first thing that pops into your head is why. He went further to give an example of even children of nowadays, they can question why their parents gave them their name. And interestingly, even when I hear some names, I'm like, your parents did not really try. So I saw that how innocently that thing has crept into all of us. And when we are not careful of the questions we ask, even in the church, they ask us to do this and you're asking why. One of the things that is running over is that Satan is already bringing lawlessness in you. And I just see the Lord's wisdom in when he said that you must follow leading, at times blindly. The question of why, you at times don't direct it to God. At times the question of why must be answered to you in another manner. Not just because they must give you reason for everything, all the processes of the church. Because it's really that at times there will be no answer for your why. But that is your safety in that season. In your season of waiting, why is not the best question to ask. It's just to submit and to follow. So I just saw that subtle way of Satan bringing illegalism. Now, why will you question your name? Because really there's nothing you can do about it. So another way Satan came, or Satan attacks the church, because he also raised women. We saw it in Revelation that he said that they have taught my servants to fornicate.
They have seduced my servant and have given them things of high dust to eat. And interestingly, we saw those things as doctrine. That means that a church that loves revelation, he has package for them also. A church that has light, he has package for them also. So we see that one of the things also peddles is that thing called self. He x-rayed Luke 16, how a man, he was very wrong in all his approach, but he has answers to the situation that has plagued him. He was an unjust steward, but he said, I will look to myself. I will do this. I will do that. At the end of the day, they have to commend him that he's a wise steward. That he's wiser than the children of light. So I remember saying that there is a strength in every man that when you run your race, you will end up in destruction without any restraint. You know, so I'm just seeing how that to prosper in this generation, to not peddle lawlessness, there are certain things we must keep ourselves in. And that's why you see Paul, he has answers to everything that happened in his generation. He has answers to kings. He stood before kings. He had answers to whatever question they asked of him. You know, and I just see that it's the Lord's wisdom, really, to keep us when we can diligently and wholly follow the Lord, you know, in every season and in every process he subjects us to. Thank you so much.
Wow. Thank you so much, sir. God bless you. Okay. Please, with Jesus' joy, welcome Sister Damaris. May the Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good evening, church. One of the things Reverend Busiyu mentioned that stood out for me was that he said that the spirit of this age wants to make us compliant. You know, I don't know if you remember, you know, when we entered the year 2000, you know, there was this Y2K compliance, you know, everybody was like, you know, I'm up to standard, you know. And he said something, he said, in a bid, you know, for man to be compliant to the standard that this world had set, that opened him up, you know, to all the wisdoms of this world. You know, there were different programming and different laws in him. You know, but one of the things that the Lord wants to do in this season, you know, is to rewrite laws in us, is to reprogram us, you know. And I'll just take that, you know, back to what, you know, Reverend Bingpe said, you know, when she was ministering. You know, she started out by saying that she was admonishing parents that, you know, during naming ceremonies, you know, there are a lot of prophecies, you know, about your children and all of that. And then as a child grows, you just find out that it's not matching at all, you know, with what has been said. You know, but as parents, what do? You stay laboring, praying for the child, and, you know, much more living a life of example, you know, to that child. And then she began, you know, to talk about obedience. Obedience is everything. It's everything. It's a course. It's a learning. We are used to a lot of hearing. We hear Monday. We hear Tuesday. We hear, you know, Wednesday, every day. But how much are we applying ourselves, you know, to what we are hearing? Because what we are hearing is life. And there's a whole lot of things that is embedded in it. If laws are going to be rewritten in us, if we're going to be reprogrammed against the course of this world, we have to obey. We have to follow the path that has been set, you know, for every one of us. Now, she also mentioned that you will not wait for the big obedience or maybe when the Lord comes to meet you and say, oh, my daughter, do this. No, but from the little instructions, you know, that come from our daddy, our mommy, even our parents at home, you know, authorities that has been set over us, how much are we obeying? How much are we yielding ourselves? How much are we allowing the Lord help us? Because as we obey, we'll walk out of what this world or the standard that this world has raised. And she also mentioned that obedience and leading of the Spirit, they work together. She mentioned that the essence of the leading of the Spirit is to make us obedient children. You know, so that's what we are gunning at. Because, you know, like Daddy Busiyu said, the devil is a lawless being. He wants to ensure that where he has fallen to, he drags man to that same place. And he's not going to come and just pull you, you know, and drag you at once. You know, it's step by step. How are you obeying instructions, you know? I just want to give this, you know, little example. So my daughter is in a class. Of course, when she started school, you know, we had told her, you know, you don't fight. Of course, there are some things that we had said, even though she's small, at least she can, you know, grasp it. So, but when she got to class, she came back in one of those days and then mentioned that you know, there's a particular girl in class that said that she does not want to be her friend. You know, she just came and said, I don't want to be your friend. You know, and meanwhile, we are told that you don't fight. I mean, of course, fighting is out of it. So no matter what you do to her, you know, to my daughter, she won't beat back. She won't. So the first time she came back, I said, okay, you know, maybe it's just, you know, children, stuff. Then she went again and then she came back. And I was like, what's the issue? She said, Mommy, this girl again. She said she does not want to be my friend, you know, and she will push me. I said, okay, so what did you do? She said, I didn't do anything. You said I should not fight. I said, okay. So the third time, I was like, hey, hope this girl will not feel that my daughter is, you know what they call didiri or swegbe. This one, she does not even know anything. I was asking myself, hope I'm okay. So I told my husband, he said, okay, I should go and see the teacher. So I went to her school. You know, it was during open day, so I spoke with her. I just said it, you know, casually that, please, who is this person? She was like, ah, ma, what happened? I said, my daughter has been reporting her, you know, to school and all, and you know, all of that. She said, ah, please, I will handle it. I said, no problem. So I went to pick her from school, and she was just quiet. So by the time we got to the house, I said, what is the issue? And she said, Mommy, this girl again. She said she does not want to be my friend, and she beat me. I was like, eh? So what did you now do? She said, I did not do anything. I said, no. So something just came up. I said, what? Why would she beat you and you'll be quiet? He said, I beg, I don't want you now go to school. They will beat you. You now come home and meet me and be crying. So what do you want me to do? I said, I won't take it. So I now called her. I said, come, let me tell you what you do. Tomorrow, don't beat her. When she comes to you, when she wants to raise her hand, say, hold her hand. Hold her like this. Take your hand. Beat her on her back. I told her, I said, by the time you are done, use your leg and do her like this. She will fall and hit her bumps. I said, she will not try it again. And, you know, immediately I just heard a very sharp rebuke inside me. Stop it. Do you want to train her in lawlessness? You know, I can be so justified to say, as a mother, will I now allow my child? They'll be beating her and beating her and beating her. So instantly, I just said, Lord, I'm sorry. I had to go back to tell her that, please, I'm sorry. You see, your mommy goofed because I was just emotional at that point, and I just could not, you know, handle it. So I began to, you know, talk to her. I told her that I would come to her school and see her teacher and then see, you know, the headmistress. But one of the things that the Lord began, you know, telling me was that I needed to trust him to avenge for me. It's not me that would explain how I want him to avenge for me. You know, because even in the process of avenging for me is salvation. So when things happen, I should trust that, oh, the Lord is my father. It's not that he's going to go and kill that second person. No, he will avenge me on that matter. And that is also, you know, me trusting God to be able to be obedient, to know that nothing will happen to my child. But all of the process, you know, is for salvation for me. Thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. It's interesting. Satan doesn't attack us many times with even, you know, so many big things. It's just through those natural expressions. Those are where he waits for us. So we thank God for victory on that front. Through training, you can actually kill children's spirits before they transit to become born again. In the name of being wise, those are rudiments of the world. Thank you so much, Ma. And with Jesus' joy, I want to welcome the ministry of Mommy Patience Oyinloye. God bless you, Ma. Strength to you, Ma.
Good evening, Daddy. Good evening, Mommy. Good evening, everyone. When I listened to the message again, I just saw that all what Reverend Busi was just trying to make us understand is that Satan is a man of laws, and he has made us man to also be an embodiment of law. And one thing that struck me was that he said, attacking do's and don'ts is not the solution to lawlessness. He says, so as a father, you need wisdom, you need the form, and you need the power. He said, the form will take care of itself when there is power. And he also says that every father must be a pastor to your wife and your children. He said your wife and children must hear you. They must hear the mystery of the gospel from your mouth. You know, when I was listening to the message, the Holy Spirit took me back memory lane. I now understand that, oh, so I was actually acting in a default law that have been set for me. And God in his mercies came to organized me, came to reinstall a new law that I was able to use to fight the other law. You know, I remember then that we just got married. You know, I married very naive, very early, and I was a pampered child. My dad loves me so much, and I wish to marry somebody like my dad. When we now got married, you know, our first quarrel happened on a Sunday, and we were about going to church. I got angry. Everybody, we're all angry, you know. But one thing about my husband is that he's quick to move into the spirit. You know, for me, the way I'm being made, I'm somebody that I don't look for trouble. Even if you see me arguing with somebody, in fact, they will tell you that this person does not talk. That means the fault is from you. You know, that's the kind of person I was. So coming to a new environment whereby there was nowhere to run to, it was just me by myself and my husband. So after everything, he said, let's go to church. I said, I wasn't going to church, that he should be going, that we should go separately. So I left the house before him. In fact, the Holy Spirit came to my rescue. Rain started falling. If I would have gone back, I still did not go back. I still entered the rain, as in to show that, I'm suffering. Let him feel it. Let him feel that he's suffering, this woman. So I went to the bus stop. I was waiting. There was no bus. That day, bus was very scarce. So my husband drove, came to the bus stop, waited for me. He said, enter. I said, I will not enter. I said, you should go to church. That when he get to church, they will ask him, where is your wife? You know, he waited and waited, then he left. So I went to church. After we finished service, I told him, we came differently, be going, and let me too be going. He now went. I went, I made food, we ate, and that was it. So later, something just dawned on me. I said, why am I suffering? See the way rain even beat me today, sir. You know, it's not me. It was a default law. So, and I said, okay, you know what I will do now? When there is an issue, I will not say I will not enter. I will not say I will not collect whatever he gives me. You see how slippery Satan is. I say, I will still collect. I will enter the car, but I will not talk to him. You know? So, from there, I graduated to, okay, you made me angry. Okay, don't worry. I will make your food, though, as in this form of godliness, so that he will now feel bad. After I finish making the food, see that your food is ready. I will serve the food. After I serve it, I will just go. I will be singing gospel song, you know, as in just to be in that atmosphere of, I'm not doing anything bad. After all, I served him food, I did my wifely duties and all that. So, Holy Spirit now reminded me on Sunday, this Sunday, when we were coming to church, I woke up around 4:30. I did everything possible to get to church early. 6:30, I was ready. So I stood. I said, God, my husband is not ready. He was washing the car. I couldn't hold it. So when I got to the car, I said, sweetheart, despite all I did, I tried to ensure that I get to church early. See, now you made us go to church late. My husband said, I know that if I drive this car dirty, you will not like it. And I washed the car for you, and you are still complaining. So my husband and I said, my wife, we appreciate it. I said, when we're still going, that was how there was an accident. And we started talking about it. So is this how a brake failure happens? And that was it. So when we got to church, I said, sweetheart, thank you so much for driving us to church. And my husband looked at me and said, he now gave me a hug. He said, my wife, you won today. So what am I trying to say? That was patience of that time compared to patience of now. You know, when my husband said that, I told myself, because this patience of now, if not for the fact that my husband was not relenting, he's a true father. And that's why, sisters, when you want to marry somebody that has fatherly potential, because it will bring salvation to you. My husband wasn't relenting at all. He wasn't. After that experience, and I told myself, I said, Jesus Christ, my Lord, he was a kind of person whereby when he was being taken to be slaughtered, he said he uttered not a word. I was not thinking, I said, okay, in this situation, what would have happened? I said, I wouldn't have said anything, you know, and my words would have been filled with grace. You know, I started examining myself. I said, God, I want to come to that point whereby if something like this happened, or if it comes in another way, I will not utter a word, you know. When they say not utter a word, there are differences. So not uttering a word, there is one that is, when a situation happened, I say, she did not say anything. People should go and find out, though, why she did not say anything. And they go to find out why she did not say anything. Then I say, if not because of the Holy Spirit. It's Holy Spirit that is holding me. That one is different though, because the law in your soul and the one in your mouth is not the same. But there is another, he uttered not a word. That one is, when you come to meet that person, even at that point whereby that person did not utter any word, and you come to meet that person, and you say, you are not saying anything. You say, in fact, I just saw my foolishness now. In fact, I'm sorry. As in, I will be the one to say, I'm sorry. That is a genuine, not uttering a word. And that is the point I want to come to. I will come to that point. Through your help, through your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We thank God for that testimony, and we're so blessed by it. Okay, very last but not the least, we'll be taking Pastor Dayo Launi. God bless you, sir. Let's encourage you.
Good evening, Daddy. Good evening, Mommy. Good evening, Church. Reverend Busui said something more like a title for the message, and he said that the prophetic destiny of the God-man. And it dawned on me that actually God has a destiny for his own. And Satan also has a destiny for God's own. And the way Reverend Busui said it is like Satan's destiny for that man is that he becomes a titanic vessel. And for me, that was like, wow, a titanic. That means something that is built so massive with so much wisdom. And at the end of the day, they will use it to taunt God that, you see, you cannot show yourself. This one is more than this. Even you cannot even break this one. And, you know, that's where Satan is going. He wants to build men that when everyone looks at them, they will just, that this man that I've built for my pleasure is now being something that is against that. So this warfare is a warfare of seeds. And it was really emphatic on the issue of seeds. And that brought me to Daniel chapter 1, I think verse 3, where they spoke about the king's seed. He said, and the king spake unto Asphinaz, the master of his eunuch, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed. So meaning there is a particular type of seed he likes, and is the ones that are chasing for kingdom, the ones that are meant for the palace, the ones that are meant for the throne, is the one that Satan actually likes. And his plan doesn't look very, very bad. If you look at what he was saying, he said, give them food. You know, bring them to the palace. At the end of the day, they will be able to stand before the king. And in my mind, like, stand before the king. That looks like our ambition. At times, we even quote it that, you know, stand before kings and will not stand before mere men. But by the time they are going to stand before kings, you can be sure that they are gone. And because he was going to inject something. Because there is no point being a seed if you cannot multiply. So he wanted to make the seed sterile. So at the end of the day, was all those food, all those things, he had an agenda. And, you know, that's what is eventually playing out currently. And, you know, one of the major things that stood out for me in that message, maybe I'll just read it out. You know, he was talking about forms, you know, and that you don't just fight forms. And he gave example of, you know, parents that will say, okay, because the child is already wearing a ring, because he's doing dreads, then you quickly kill it. But there was a part that he made mention of. He said that a world of no restraint, no pullback, a world of reckless abandonment to sensuality and craves and materialistic age by installation of new laws. So it's possible that we can be so carried away by everything that is happening around us and, you know, new technology, that inventions are no longer innocent in themselves. It's not just to give you comfort. The idea of inventions now, like that Titanic, is to build something that will be against God. So at the moment, we are seeing different things, new things, AI, you know, all of that coming up. It looks very simple in itself. But Reverend was saying that we can't be too forward. We can't jump into things anyhow. He said that you can't be materialistic. You can't live life with a reckless abandonment to sensuality and craves. You know, I just feel like eating one rice that is not made from Nigeria, that is made inside the laboratory. You say different craves, different desires. So he was saying that those are things that we must watch out for. If we won't end up finding out that we have already eaten the king's meat, we have already taken part in things that we are not to take part of. But I'll just round off with a little experience that made it, okay, just come alive. That as much as, you know, you will see politicians out there, you say, ah, these people, you know, you can't say evil, but you just like, ah, God will help them, oh, God will help them. But recently I had cause to work with a politician. And, you know, one of the days he said, okay, I should ride with him in his vehicle. It was a bus, but it was not just any kind of bus. That's when I knew that AC is different from AC. And, you know, when the AC just started, you know, I said, okay, maybe these people are not that bad though. Then I started seeing that my standards started changing. Oh boy, I don't chop King's meat. You know, and that time, I was working with someone else, you know, also not really a politician, but someone in charge of, you know, a parastatal. And, you know, one of the days, she wanted to give me a job, and she was, you know, maybe like, imagine someone is trying to write your check, and they're like, you know, all these people, Boshimanshe, Koda, if she was even wrong at that point, I didn't want to know. Abikiloro, Koda, before she will stop signing my... Koda Abi is not good. I agree with you, man. As long as, you know, and I said, it's actually a very thin line that we can't just live life. So that message made me know that the world is not as, you know, it's not as innocent. You must be built with so much wisdom, even to discern what is in there. Thank you so much.
Hallelujah. Can you hear me? Appreciate our pastors. Thank you so much. I appreciate all of you. A big amen. Father, we have come tonight for mercy again. We have come to receive spirits. We have come to receive help from you. We have come to receive light from you. We ask that we show us great mercy, Lord. You will grant unto us great help in the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, shine light upon us, Lord. Give grace to us, Jesus. Bless me with utterance. Shine your light. Glory to your name, O God. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Timothy 6. I was teaching on the rise of good witnesses, which is described in that 1 Timothy that Paul said Timothy has attained. So he has professed a good profession for many witnesses. What Timothy became, Timothy's grandmother and Timothy's mother has attained to that. Because the Bible made us to know that good profession which Timothy have attained, there were already many witnesses. And God's intention is to raise many. Timothy joined those kind of witnesses. And it was about for him to connect to the next level of witness. In that 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5, but godliness with contentment is a great gain. For we brought nothing unto this world, and it is certain we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith contend. For they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and to many foolish and awful lust. Paul call it foolish, but to a soul that has lust is not foolish. To him, he feel that he has found life. It will take you to have become godly, to be able to see that lust is the world of ungodliness. Is the world of ungodliness, which Romans 11, Paul was quoting from Isaiah, if I'm right. He said, they will turn ungodliness away from Jacob. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it's written, There shall come out of Zion deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. But God will contend as a great gain, for we bore nothing unto the world, and it is certain we shall take nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be content. And they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and unto foolish and artful lusts, who drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which where some covet after, they have erred from the faith. So what faith is supposed to do is to produce godliness. So when you earn from the faith, you will not attain godliness with contentment, which is a great gain. They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through many sorrows. But that man of God flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Unto thou art also called. So that means it showed that there had been a previous calling before. They use the word thou art also called. It showed that to be also mean there's a first one. You have your first call or your first calling. And your first calling is attaining godliness. And when you attain godliness and you attain godliness with contentment, you have attained your first calling. Then you move on to your second calling. That second calling, they call it the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that high calling of God in Christ Jesus is to attain eternal life. And you can attain eternal life from the head. You attain eternal life from the tail. And the tail of eternal life is everlasting life. Or the corridor into eternal life is everlasting door. So to attain eternal life, you enter through a wall, everlasting door, an everlasting gate. So you cannot attain the also called, what we also call into eternal life, without first attainment. What is the first attainment? Godliness with what? And that godliness with contentment is what? It's a great gain. You have attained your first estate. And that estate is a good. It's not the good. Because everlasting life is the good. Godliness is a good. It's called it a good profession. Not the good profession. A good profession. Before many witnesses. So, as at the time that Paul was writing to Timothy, there were already many witnesses of good profession. There were already many godly men with contentment on the head in the midst of the churches. And those many witnesses in the church was what I was reading from, that Psalm 22 and Hebrew 2 from verse 10. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many. So there are many sons. As at the time that Paul was writing Hebrew church, there were also many witnesses. So you can find by these two witnesses, firstly to Timothy, that Timothy have joined the cloud of many witnesses of good profession in the midst of the church. Just like Hebrew chapter 11, we are encompassed by so great cloud. That means from those people that Paul archived, there were many witnesses that arose through the law and the prophets. So, likewise, in the midst of the church, were already many sons. These many sons are men that have gone through the good fight of faith, and they have attained a good profession. There's a good profession, and there's excellent profession. So, a good profession is a profession of godliness. But when you see Hebrew 3, you will see another profession there. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of what? Of our profession, Christ Jesus. So here he introduced what they call our heavenly calling. And this heavenly calling is a calling of the high priest. So when Paul was writing Hebrew, the profession are being lifted up. Because there are already many that have been raised, which Hebrew 2 said that the intention is that the children that God has given to him are in the midst of the church. He has raised what they call my brethren. These my brethren are those that have attained a good profession. But now they need to move into our profession, which is a profession of heavenly calling, and the profession, the apostle and the high priest is calling many witnesses of good profession to attain. And he said that profession is witnesses of his glory. So there is a profession of faith, and there's a profession of glory. Or there's a profession of godliness, which is a good profession. And God wants to raise witnesses of that. That was the essence of the Hebrew chapter 10 that moved into Hebrew chapter 11. That Hebrew chapter 10 said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. But there is the profession of end of the faith. The profession of end of the faith is salvation. And salvation is glory. Isaiah 40. The voice of him that cry in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight path in the desert, a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Want to go, everybody, verse 5. So what he called all flesh I see together, yeah, and not every human being. And it's not all flesh that can see the glory of the Lord. These all flesh are many sons or many witnesses that have attained a good profession. Because 1 Corinthians 1, 2 say that no flesh should glory in his presence. So, flesh can't glory in his presence. So, let's look at this Isaiah chapter 40 in Luke chapter 3. So, he said, want to go, as is written in the book of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see what? The salvation of God. So I was saying that there's a profession of faith, which is a good profession. And a good profession is to attain what? Godliness and contentment, which is a great gain. And there's also the heavenly calling. And this heavenly calling is to see what? Glory. Or to see what? Salvation. So I showed us that Isaiah called this high calling of God in Christ Jesus, he called it what? Glory. Where Luke called it what? Salvation. So when you hear me talk about the salvation of God, in Luke 1, when the mouth of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, got open, he called the ministry that John was supposed to do, which was the prophet of the highest, he called it salvation. To give the knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sin, through the tender mercy of God, whereby the day spirit from our eye has visited us. It was distilling the ministry of John the Baptist, that John the Baptist was about to prepare the way for the purpose of seeing the glory of the Lord. John the Baptist is not ministering the glory of the Lord. It's meant to prepare the way. Because there were things that were hindering the glory of the Lord to be seen. Or there was something that was hindering for men to see the salvation of God. So his own ministry is to prepare the way. To take out the mountains. Take out the hill in the mind of men. Fill up the valleys in men. Take away rough places that are not making men to see. What does it mean to see? To see is to comprehend. To see is to understand salvation. Remember John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So, to be born again, so that you can see. I know that we are predestined. It's good that we are all born again when we give our life to Christ. But you know, the person that Jacob was teaching here too, he was not preaching initial salvation to. The born again that Jacob was talking about here was a soul. Not the regeneration of human spirit. But this experience is true to human spirits. Because until Jacob died and resurrected and received into glory, human spirit could not be quickened from the dead. But he was teaching this Nicodemus that he must be born again. So we know that born again concept that God was teaching here was not to Nicodemus' spirit, but to Nicodemus' soul. So the spirit became born again, a new birth, and was quickened from the dead and made to see together with Christ in heavenly places. But the soul also must be born again, the way our spirit was born again. And the born-again process for the soul do not start until you begin to make the soul to have encounter with the word of Christ. It will take the word of Christ to get the soul born. To be born. Without the word of Christ. So without the word of Christ, the soul can be born. So meek of the world do not burn the soul. Meek of the world prepare the soul. The meek of the world prepare the soul. It comes to prepare the soul. But it's not what they use to give birth to the soul. Just the way your spirit was born again, your soul also was born. And be born again. To be born again, our spirit was born again via Holy Ghost. It was the quickening of the Holy Ghost. Faith in the Lord Christ gave Holy Ghost a right way to quicken our spirit. So when you become born again and you begin to receive the teaching of the meek of the world, Holy Ghost began to prepare your heart, but not to birth your heart. Holy Ghost does a lot of preparation on your heart and your mind. Because he that uses meek is unskillful. And another thing that he calls unskillful means his senses have not been exercised. And one of the senses of the soul is the eyes. But that sense has not yet been exercised. So it's not skillful. What is skillful? That his senses have not been trained. So you have to train it. Because the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven does not come with observation. No one will tell you, look, it's there or there. For the kingdom of God is spiritual. And meek of the world is not spiritual. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. For when I come unto you, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. I have fed you with meat and not with meat. So meat of the world is what makes senses to be trained and exercised in spiritual. So meat of the world does not exercise your senses. Exercising of your senses, your eyes, your ear, your heart. Those three things are very, very important. It's which was talking in the book of Matthew 13, which also correlates Isaiah chapter 6. And also agree with Deuteronomy chapter 4. Where until this day they have not given you a ear to hear, eye to see, an heart to understand or to perceive. You have to be given. They are not giving you eyes, ear to hear, eyes to see, and heart to understand. In Matthew 13, it's heart to perceive, to discern. And Hebrew chapter 5 call it that those that uses me is unskillful. Elaski, you acquire skillfulness by practice, by exercise, by training. It's through practice, through trainings. So without training, without practice, you don't become skillful. And what are you using to be skillful? You are trying to train the senses skillful. The ear, the eyes, and the heart. The best your heart can do is to believe. So Holy Ghost will keep training the heart to believe. But believing is there from seeing. You have to believe to see. You read that book of Psalm 27. I have fainted unless I had believed. So Holy Ghost will train you very well in the believing so that you can qualify. The best training that your soul, your heart can do is to believe. And increase capacity where you can believe until you can see. I have fainted until I have believed to see. So you have to believe to see. So when you gave your heart to Christ, that's when you started believing. So they gave the Holy Ghost to train your heart in believing. So you have to be believed to the Savior of your soul. And when you read John 20, in believing that you may believe, you have life everlasting. And when you read 1 John chapter 5, you must believe that he has come, that Christ is come in the flesh. You have to believe again that John Christ is the Son of God. So you need initial work. They need to train your heart. So the first training that they do you to train your heart to believe. That's the essence of all the training of the meek of the word. That's the essence why they train you in the word. Initial leading of the spirit, which is of the gentleness of the spirit, is to believe God. Because they want to make sure that your heart cannot faint. Because there's a way that you can faint. Because it happened to Hebrew Christians. As at the time that they were writing Hebrew 10 and Hebrew 12, they were already fainting and they're becoming weary. Just they have learned Christ, but that Christ and the training for the living God, when it began, they began to draw back. So, weak of the word does not give your sense, which is your four senses, your eyes, to see. Neither does the meek of the word open your ear to hear. So the best the meek of the world will do is to awaken you to realm of supernatural. It's natural realm. But now you are using some invisible forces to push natural things. But the word of the spiritual is still short from you. And the word of the kingdom is the word of spiritual. But it's very important for me to use meek of the word very well so that they can grow the bandwidth of believing in my heart. So the bandwidth of faith must be very high because you need a very strong bandwidth of faith to be able to open your eyes and open your ear. Because Jesus was teaching his disciples, why do you speak to these people in parable? Why do you speak to them in parable? And why don't you speak to them plainly? And he said that, I said, have you forgotten the cry of Isaiah that said, who have believed our report? Because it is those who believe our report, unto whom the arm of the Lord is revealed to see. So you can't see the arm of the Lord. The revelation of everlasting harm, operation of God, if you have not believed. So Holy Ghost prepare the heart. And he can prepare the ear. But the meek of the world that Holy Ghost will teach you cannot open your eyes. It cannot open your eyes to the realm, into the world of the spiritual. Meek of the world will only open you to the realm of supernatural. God created natural because the first man, Adam, was earthy. And the first man, Adam, was natural. But the last Adam was spiritual. And it's the Lord from heaven. And because it's the Lord from heaven, for you to see the glory of God, or for you to see the salvation of the Lord, which he had prepared before the face of the people. Simon stood up when they brought Jesus into the temple. So I said John was the messenger of the way. So John's ministry is to take away what hindered man to see. So consider the ministry of John is a type of ministry of Christ in the New Testament. Because take Christ, it is spiritual for you to see the glory of God, or for you to see salvation. So it takes Christ for you to see salvation. It takes a godly man. It takes many witnesses for them to be able to see everlasting life. And as everlasting life is the tale of eternal life. So we can see that the ministry of John the Baptist is a shadow of the ministry of Christ. Because John the Baptist was Adam. And John was the last Adam. And out of every man born of woman, there's no one arisen like John. So we know that by the reason of the stature of John is higher than Abel. Because Abel was born of man. So John the Baptist is higher than Abel. So John the Baptist could say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And why he could sense it? Because he has a type of oppression that can see. For he saw that the kingdom of God is at hand. So he showed that the kingdom of God is the salvation of God. The kingdom of God is the glory of God is at hand. So there was a strength that was in John. That you can say John was a type of a shadow, a copy, a figure of the first order of creation, the former creation type of Christ. But Jesus is the new creation order, not the former creation, but the new creation order. So as I was saying, the first attainment, the first profession is a good profession. So everlasting life is the good, is the good profession. So you move from a good to the good. So you read the book of Psalm. For the Lord will give grace and glory. And there's nothing good. So there's the good. So the good there with God withhold. For hearing that walk uprightly. Do no good thing. So everything that God created from book of Genesis 1, 2, they called them good, good, good. And God saw they were good. God saw they were good. They were good. So God creation was a witness. So God creation were witnesses. They supposed to witness to the first in the shadow, the first kind of witnesses that God wants to raise upon the earth. So everything that God created, they were good. And when God looked at everything, summation of everything he has created, everything said good, they were good, they were good. When God put the summation of everything together, say they were very good. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were desisted. So creation, we are witness. Former creation before the fair was the first witness of good. So in creation, they profess good profession of God. And when man interacts with the creation, which Hebrew chapter 1 was talking about, that when man see creature, man will be able to understand eternal things
head. The invisible things of God is eternal power and Godhead, that those things that God created, where in them we are witnesses of good. They were to be to witness. Because God puts in them a form. So if I say a good profession is what? Is godliness. With contentment, which is a great gain. So in creation, before they fell, they were a form, a shadow of God likeness. Like the name Michael is either like God. So it's not only Michael. In everything that God created, they carry likeness of God. Because why? They were good. And they were very good. So creations, we are not meant to take man's attention from God and to begin to discover things that are in them. As men study tree now, study animal and make out things. What was in them, God placed in them to be able to witness to invisible things of God. Adam and Eve, we are looking at trees. What those trees, those birds, those sea, all to the goat that was in the ground in Genesis 2. And the goat of that land is good. And there's an oxen stone. So you can see that everything was good. So in that goat, when you look at it, you are not thinking of stealing it and trying to use it to make jewelry. That was not the intention. God, look, everything he made, they were good. So if you are good, he shows a good profession, which is about, they're supposed to communicate a kind of godliness to the soul. So it was from that wisdom that Paul wrote Romans chapter 1 and 2. That was the wisdom that Paul used to write Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 2. That there are invisible things of God before the creation of the world. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Be understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. So the creation, we are false witnesses of God. So creation and not just a touch of godliness, but they even have a touch of everlasting. Psalm 90. Lord, thou be our dwelling place in all generations. So all generations mean before you generate all things. All generations there does not mean generation of Adam, generation. Majorly when God generated all generation, when you generate everything. Before the mountains we are brought for, or thou form the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. So we can see that as a perfect and full witness of God, Jesus, who is the brightness of God's glory and the essential image of the person of God, is the perfect and full witness of God. He is the true witness of God. And that true witness of God is to represent that you can find the true essence and the true nature of God in him. So you can find the essence and the true nature of invisible God, eternal God, in a tree. It was described by creation in Isaiah 40. So, who can you liken into our God? For you to see that creations and things that were made were designed to speak about this thing. Let's see from verse 10. Behold, the Lord will come from with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward with him, and his word before him. So, he was describing the nature of God, his work, and his arm, and his reward. He shall flee this lot like a shepherd. He shall gather the lamb with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who had measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and met out the heaven with his hand and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hill in a balance. Who had directed the spirit of the Lord of being his counselor had taught him. So nothing that is created can counsel God or can be a teacher of God or can teach God. So God made those things to teach his creation, not to teach him. So he's saying here that this thing that we have made, the mountain, they were not to counsel God. But they were supposed to counsel men. They were supposed to be a thing that we instruct men. So mountains, waters, hills, we are supposed to instruct men. They were supposed to counsel men. They were supposed to teach men. But they are not to teach God. This thing, we are older than men. Mountains are older than men. Hills are older than men. Waters are older than men. In Genesis 1, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and the water covered the earth. We don't know how many everlasting to everlasting that the water was covering the earth, because God left the earth with water and went to populate the heaven. We don't know how many everlasting. So, water that you are drinking is older than you. So, the water has cancer. Water has intelligence, because it shows that the thundering of God's voice, they heard the thundering of God's voice first before man heard the voice of God. Water heard the thundering of God's voice before man. We don't know how many everlasting that water heard the thundering of God's voice. Or the water has incubation of the Spirit of God on it before the Spirit of God born man. So who have directed the spirits? Because the Spirit of God brood over the water. And I can tell you, the Spirit of God is brooding upon the water. I know the Spirit of God cannot brood over a thing and live it like that. He said that the Spirit will be communicating things upon the waters. So before man was created, the Spirit had been having engagement upon the waters. So that means the water had more engagement with the Spirit of God before man came on the scene. And we didn't know how many everlasting. You see, water has lost its power. Every creation of God that you are seeing, bondage of corruption has hit in them. He's holding everything in captivity. You remember? When man fell, God said that the earth, the land will not get yield its increase. It's not only land that's not yielding its increase, including the sea. So you don't know how much capacity they can yield their increase. God has lowered the strength of his creation. You see, there are a lot of mineral resources. But those mineral resources, when God created them, they were not meant to be exhausted. So if men are finishing it, it's because God reduced their power, their strength of yielding. They are not yielding their strength. Because God subjected them in hope. Because if the earth is yielding what is completely yielding, man will not know God. By decreasing yielding, is causing man to have a bed pang. So regular reducing of his strength is generating bed pang. But he first of all generated bed pang in that I have the first fruit of the spirit. But later, the old creation also shall enter to bed pang. But the first set of people that should generate bed pang are those who have the first fruit of the spirit. To have the first fruit of the spirit is to have the law of the of life in Christ Jesus. I mean, those who have been adopted, those who the son, the messenger of the covenant, or the messenger of the Lord of hosts, came in the sanctuary to baptize them with consuming fire and reduce them. Just the way we prefer silver and reduce them into newborn babe. So the newborn babes are those who are the first fruit of the spirit. The newborn babe. They are the first fruit of the spirit. And because they have 44 spirits, which have the spirit of the Father, they are crying. They cry, Abba Father. So that is how Galatians call it. They cry, Abba Father. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. So this spirit of adoption is the first fruit of those who are the first fruit of the spirit. Whereby we cry, Abba Father. He called in that Romans 8, he called it those who have received the spirit of adoction. So go to 23. One to everybody. And not only they, but ourselves also, which are the first fruit of the spirit. So what you call the first fruit of the spirit here is the spirit of adoption. 15, 23. So go to Galatians 4, verse 3. Even so, when we were children, when we are in bondage, and you are no longer in bondage again to fear. When we are in bondage under the elements of the world. So you can't receive the spirit of adoption when you are still using element of the world. What are the elements of the world? Lust of the world. Elements of the world. Lust of the world. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Without those things being taken out of you, you will not receive the spirit of adoption. The person that will remove all the elements of this world from you is the activity of the spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost. He will do it until you arrive in the sanctuary or you have attained a state of godliness. The spirit of adoption is the coming of the Son, which is the messenger of the law of hosts, or the messenger of the covenant, into the sanctuary to come and purify you. When he finished purifying you, unto a newborn babe, as he's taking you into the most holy way, he's giving you the spirit of adoption. That I've adopted you from the element of this world. I've adopted you. You are sons. You are a son. You have joined many sons. You are in the company of many witnesses. Because you are not God-likeness. Or, what's another word for godliness? A spirit of governed life. The godly soul is a man that is governed by the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So it's no longer governed by the element of this world, or it's no longer being ruled by the lust of this world and by ungodly lust. He has partaken, or he has inherited the spirit of adoption, or he has inherited the first fruit of the spirit. God, the essence of the first fruit of the spirit is so that you can attain into the first fruits company. Those who will stand with the Lamb of Mount Zion, they are all first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Galatians 4. For when we are children, we are in bondage under the element of the world. That means we are heir by the lust of the world. Under the element of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth the Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. To redeem under the law, yeah. Not the law of Moses. To redeem them under the law of sin and death. That we might receive. You cannot receive the spirit of adoption, which is also called the first fruit spirit, until you have been redeemed from the law. And what's another word for the law? Element of this world. You must have been redeemed. To redeem them that were under the law. Verse 4. To redeem them that were under the bondage. For them we are children. We are in bondage. Under. So we can see that every soul we are under has its law or has its curse. What every man were learning, according to that Galatian, was they were learning elements of the world. So elements of the world was under the curse of this world. And what we're teaching was teaching last week. I talked about that you graduate. It's a classes. You graduate like primary and primary. You graduate. Just like in Christ also, you graduate in your course of learning Christ. You graduate from faith to hope to charity. For all those gradation of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and pride of life, you need to be delivered from them. Delivered from them is redeem you from them. What's redeem? To redeem you mean they restore you. They buy you back from those things that have captured you. And train you. So, both worldly lust and ungodly lust. The teacher of worldly lust are principalities and powers. Whereas the teacher of ungodly lust are rulers of the darkness of this world. Those are the two things you are meant to deny. In Titus 2. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. So ungodliness is higher than worldly lust. Worldly lust is inverted outer court teaching. That's why the teacher of worldly lust are principalities and power. That worldly lust, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 call it that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man. What is wisdom of man? The light of the sun and the moon. Not the physical sun. Not the physical moon. You are still under wisdom that man uses. And the wisdom that man uses is the wisdom. What is wisdom? Light. Wisdom, understanding and knowledge of man. There is another light that man is supposed to use. He was light, and his light was the light of man. But there's another wisdom for men. And that wisdom for men is the wisdom that principality and power that they want to show to the church. That through the church, they should show the manifold wisdom of God to principality and power. So the wisdom of principality and power is the wisdom of men. The wisdom that you can use to rule men. Men, ruling men. But that wisdom is not a man. That wisdom is the wisdom of principalities. It's intelligence, but he called it wisdom of man. Wisdom of man. So the first thing is the wisdom of man. That your faith should not stand in wisdom of man, but in the power of God. And what is the power of God? Power of God is faith. Power of God is Christ. So what does power of God do? The power of God is against the wisdom of man. So wisdom of man is opposing the power of God. And the power of God is what? Faith life. Wisdom of man is to keep you being free from what he lost by the power of God, which I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. And what is that power of God? For then is not God revealed from faith to faith. So opposite of righteousness of God, well, is what he lost. Then after righteousness of God, you move into godliness, to righteousness unto godliness. That when you are like God, which make you to become a good profession, which is the first witness you should be. A good profession is a man that attains godliness and contentment with a great gain. So you can see that the opposite of righteousness is worldly lust. Because for daily is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, so that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. That means there's something against the faith. And what's against the faith is the wisdom of men. And the wisdom of man is not just a man that has wisdom. What taught that man that wisdom? What taught that man wisdom is falling principalities and power. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power. So, principalities and power are teachers of worldly lust. Or are wisdom behind worldly lust. So, if you overcome worldly lust, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, brother, you have overcome a wisdom. Lust of the eyes. It's when you begin to see hope. I thought the hope of this war. And I said, when you have lust of the flesh, it's a veil. Which is an understanding also. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. They are wisdom of principalities and power. It's a twisted wisdom. Wisdom that God put in them when God made them, that became perverted. They are the ones that they serve us as lust. When you say you have lust, it's a wisdom. It's an understanding. It's a knowledge. That are ways in the heart. There are ways in your heart. When you understand what he lost, you have overcome a wisdom of man. That's right. And when God teaches you to overcome law, you see that everything that answer as men, which men serve the rest of their life in the flesh to the lust of men. Men live the rest of their life to the lust of men. God will stop you from living your life to the lust of men. So God will teach you faith against the lust of men. And that lust of men is worldly lust. Because lust of men or the wisdom of men is a conversation. Lust is a conversation. It's a way of life. It's a manner of life. In book of James, when he was talking about wisdom, right from above, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation. A good conversation. So a good conversation is a good way of life. A good conversation. So this is Christ. So this James 3 is a good conversation. Philippians chapter 3 is what? Our conversation is from heaven. So there's a good conversation, and there's another conversation that is from heaven. For our conversation is in heaven. So there's a conversation that's a good conversation, but it's another conversation that is from heaven. So you can see that wisdom is a conversation. Or in wisdom are ways. In wisdom are ways. Either ways of life or ways of death. Paths of life or path of death. When you say man, when you have lust, your mind is governed by lust. Or you live to the lust. You live to the lust of men. You are living to the lust of men. That no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men. So lust of men are wisdom of men. And wisdom of men are conversation. Way of life, man of life, way of thinking. We are seeing things. We are reasoning out issues that principles and power are forming you. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So, worldly lust, it shows in the way of your mind. Worldly lust, it shows in the way of your heart. To deny worldly lust is to deny falling principality and power. What you are denying falling heavenly beings. When you deny worldly lust, you're like, oh, I'm no longer, God has read me of worldly lust. You have just finished denying a wisdom of a conversation. And that wisdom of that conversation is what puts you under the bondage to the elements. So, when you deny it, you are warning against the element that connected your soul in allegiance to elements. These elements are elements that are in principle and power. They are elements. Have you seen people say, if you go to visit, you will see him in his original element. So what do they call original elements? In his true self, in his true nature, in his true expression. So elements of the world are the true expression of evil spirits. But that thing is a wisdom. He called it the wisdom of man. But it's not man. It does not belong to man. Spirit sold it to man. Spirit taught man it. And he now said, this is your own now. Leave it to the loss of man. So you say it's our own thing. It's our conversation. No. It's not the question of man. They imported, it's an imported material. It's an imported element. It's not the element that God created man with. Ungodliness is the element of rulers of the darkness of this world. For them to say rulers, say rulers. So rulers, they are properties of thrones and dominion. So thrones and dominion are ruling beings in the first heaven. That's what they classify them rulers, principalities and powers, thrones and dominion, or thrones and might and throne. So you see that what they divide as might, they also call it throne. So throne and dominion, they are rulers. Amongst those class of thought heaven, they are rulers. Ungodliness. He called ungodliness, he called it the wisdom of this world in 1 Corinthians 2. So it's the wisdom of this world that rulers of this world uses. And that wisdom is what they call ungodliness. When you're an ungodly soul, what you have in yourself is the wisdom of this world, which nothing will start dealing with it until they have moved you from faith to hope. Because hope is behind the veil. Because what falling might, which he called dominion, and falling throne does, that is where they start calibrating dominion. You know, they call every angel of the lower heaven, the third heaven, or the first heaven, they call them all his places of his dominion. But we know that for principality and power, the next being that are there are throne, might, and dominion. So instead of might, they call it throne and dominion. So they are dominion beings. And dominion and throne mean they are rulers. They are rulers. In the class of us heaven, they are the ruling class. Just like in every community, they are the ruling house. So the ruling house in the first heaven are those ones. When Satan formed, so they are the one that they are called the rulers of this world. But rulers of this world, epistle straight them as perpetrator of ungodliness. They use another law to run. Because I said that, if I say godliness is to be governed by the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Then ungodliness is a government that is outside the law. So ungodliness are perpetrator of the law of sin and death. So if godliness is the government, the activity of the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that a man has been subjected, a soul has been subjected for the purpose of freedom. Romans chapter 8 from verse 1. Therefore, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. They are joining to Christ. In Christ Jesus. Or Christ being formed in you. But the Lord is your life in Christ Jesus. So there was something that was in Christ Jesus. And that thing that was in Christ Jesus, they call it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For Christ is wisdom. And not only wisdom, righteousness. Not only righteousness, sanctification. Not sanctification alone, redemption. Those are the constituents. Those are the elements. Just as the element of this war, the element in Christ Jesus is wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Those are the constituents that is in Christ Jesus. Those are the things that frame the law that is in Christ Jesus. Those are the property of the law of life in Christ Jesus. Every Christian that God created, they were created in the likeness. They capture likeness of God because they were all good and very good. And they were supposed to teach invisible things of God. And Christ is the best life in God. So it showed that what they had before they fell, before they became corrupted, he was a type of Christ. So if Christ is a wisdom, he showed it to their kind of wisdom. Because they were made in a type, a shadow, a copy, a figure of what is like God. When Paul was teaching about this activity of evil spirits, Paul gave them the presented power, rule of darkness of this world. Do look for a sign. Greece looks for wisdom, and Rome is the center of Grecian wisdom. He classified wisdom into three. But what he classified as wisdom there, we are fully angelic activities upon the earth. So he called it wisdom of men. When you see a man that built a kingdom, you would think that it's the man that built it. What that man used to be that thing was his lust. What drove that man was his lust. But if he's calling lust, you will not like it. But that loss, manifestation of that loss was wisdom. So you see him build a kingdom. But really, it's loss that built it. It's ungodliness that built it. But what is lost? What's ungodliness? Their wisdom. Their wisdom. What seemed right to man? Their what seemed good to man? What seemed right? What seemed good? Because I tell you that God took everything. Everything was good. There is inverted falling good. Say God told me, Google Genesis and Google good. So I Google good. God said, look, before the only thing that God said, it was good. Until a being came to introduce good and evil into one thing. Everything that God did not put evil, it was good. So Satan said, why should there be only good? But there's also another good. But this good ass is evil with it. But when God created, God was good. Because they are supposed to witness. Because let any man instead say he tempted of God. For God cannot tempt a man with evil. For God does not have evil. Every man, when he's tempted, it's not saying he's tempted of God. For God does not tempt a man with evil. And he said, what is tempting man is that every man is drawn away by his desire and is that little lust. And we know that God is good. So what is tempting man is what seemeth good to man. And what seemeth right to man. Really, in the original make of God, every angel and everything that God created, we are all good. But by the reason of sin entered the world and corrupted the good. The good now have a shade of good and have a shade of evil. So the thing that God created can no longer communicate a figure of godliness and communicate a figure of everlasting life. Because I said something, everlasting life is the good. Christ's life is a good provision. So realm of outer court to the initial place, most holy place, are word of good. Because every good gift. So, in the Father is good. And there's also good light and perfect light. So, good light is Urim. So, good expanded from outer court into the holy place. So, you've got to be a good witness and move to become the good witness. But a good witness is godliness. A soul that is able to be governed by the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus is governing that soul. It's a war that has been formed on inside that soul. Or it's a wisdom. Because godliness is a wisdom. It's a wisdom of a good conversation. And I call that conversation good judgments. Who is a wise man and doing knowledge among you? Let him show out a good conversation. It's war with meekness or wisdom. So meekness is godliness. That's like when you read Timothy. But thou man of God, feed this thing. I feel like righteousness. Everybody? Godliness and what? Faith and what? Love and what? Peace and what? Meekness. That's a good conversation. These are character of godliness. Because this was what he was talking about when he was talking about godliness. Because it was here that he talked, but godliness with contentment is great gain. It takes a meek soul to be contented. Because if you are not meek, you are going to be high-minded. So meekness is not just that I'm bowing my head alone. You can be bowing your head, which is good to bow. But as you are bowing, don't let it stop by bowing. It's your heart bowing to the standard of righteousness. Patience, which we also find in that good conversation of James chapter 4. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then what? Peaceable, gentle, easy to what? And sweeter, full of mercy and good fruit without partiality and without hypocrisy. So there's patience there. Although here he has moved into everlasting. Because I say good, it starts from a good to the good. So it started with Christ and accumulated it was in everlasting. In that James 4. He moved it. Because it's a conversation is from above. So he treated it from the te into above. So he has both the good and the good conversation together in the character that we're describing. So to turn Israel away from ungodliness. Those are all Israel be saved. As it's written, that shall come out of Zion, the deliverer. Shall come out and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So, to turn away ungodliness is to turn away the wisdom that is governing lust of this world. But when Paul wanted to call ungodliness, Paul called ungodliness in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He called it wisdom of this world. The wisdom of this world. So it's the wisdom of this world. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. First of all, Abi, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Yet not the wisdom of this world. We speak wisdom. What is wisdom? Christ. Christ, the wisdom of God. So we speak the wisdom among them that are perfect. Philippians 3, verse 12. Not as though I have already attained. Neither we are already perfect. And this perfect is Ephesians chapter 4. Till we all come in the unity of faith unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. So go back to Philippians. Not as though I have already attained, neither we are already perfect. But I follow after. This is exactly thing that he wrote to Timothy. Follow after. That I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So that's the first thing of Christ Jesus. There's something in Christ I need to apprehend. Brethren, I cannot myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things that are before. So he is already in Christ, but he's also moving from Christ into everlasting life. I press toward the mark for the presence of the high calling of Christ. So you have moved from Christ and moved to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So the first thing that he said in verse 12, not that I'm already perfect, but I follow after, either I may apprehend that which I apprehended of Christ Jesus. There's something I want to be of Christ, of Christ. This thing is of Christ. What I want to say is of Christ. And that which is of Christ is the love of life in Christ Jesus. of Christ. I want to attain. And that will make me perfect. But not only that. So when I'm doing that, there are things that are behind already. I've conquered them. But I want to be perfected in Christ. I want to make sure I arrive at the point of great gain. Godliness with contentment. A great gain. Contentment doesn't mean that I'm not looking for God anymore. Contentment means that there's nothing in this world that is competing with seeking for God. That's contentment. You can be Christ, but there's something in you that wants something again. By Christ, they are poured away from the loss of this world. Loss of the eyes, loss of the flesh, and prayer of life. But you may still be interested in the war. Like Jesus does not have lust inside of him. But Satan came to tempt Jesus with the kingdoms and the glory of this world. So the kingdom and the glory of this world is higher than the lust of this world. That is a very high thing. That he might deliver us from this present evil world. That evil world was, we are talking about iniquity, the midst of iniquity, which we are calling illegality, which is the will of God and of our Father. So I want to attain that which is of Christ. To attain, to apprehend that which is of Christ. And that which is of Christ is a law of life in Christ Jesus, which means to make God a godly soul. A man that is governed by that law that's in Christ Jesus. I want to attain it. I want to attain it. I'll be perfect. But not just that I've attained it, but I want to go in, not just that I am being free, or I've been free from the wisdom of men and the wisdom of this world, but to attain that, I want to attain godliness with contentment. Meaning, there is nothing. Though they have put away the loss of the world for me, the kingdom of this world and the glory of this world does no longer tempt me or lure me anymore. I'm godly. But beyond my godliness, they also give me contentment. I'm contented in looking for God. Even if there's no other thing. Well, you know that everything that God is enough for you. And you know that in God, there's no dollar. In God, there's no hey high. So even eventually, you can't get the other thing outside God, we are okay. So when every soul have attained godliness, one thing he must go for a contentment. It is until you have attained contentment that you can say you have fully been perfected. You can be free from the loss of this world. Which means you've been free from the wisdom of prosperity and power, which is the wisdom of men. You're free from the wisdom of the rule of this world, which is the wisdom of this world. But you are still contented. That's why every Christ can still be tempted. A perfect man can still be tempted. But when do you stop tempting a perfect man? Make him contented. So at that easy, no weapon that you fashion against him can prosper. So here, that I'm a brand of Christ. But beyond that, brethren, I cannot myself have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So there's things behind. First thing behind me is that to apprehend those things that are of Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark of the price of the high calling of God. Yeah, in Christ. So there are two things that are in Christ. Godliness is in Christ. There's also high calling of God that is in Christ. Therefore, let us, therefore, as many as be perfect. So there are those who are be perfect. What is it perfect? Those who have attained godliness. Be thus minded. That this will be the kind of man you are. And if anything, you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So go back to that 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So he talk about, Abi, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. That means those who are perfect, those who are already godly. Yet, not the wisdom of this world. So the wisdom of this world is the wisdom of the rulers of the darkness of this world. Then after that, you move to them. No, the wisdom of the princes of this world. So the princes of this world are folly seraphs, who are spiritual wickedness in high places. So wisdom of men is the wisdom of principality and power, which are propagator. Eh? Or what? What I call them? But after what? Of lust, which is what? Worldly lust. Whereas wisdom of this world are propagator of what? Or folly what? Thrones and dominion. Now, what do you call what? Rulers of the darkness of this world. And what do they perpetuate? Ungodliness. Which is a wisdom of ungodliness. They are rulers. Then we have to talk about our princes. They are the fallen cherubs. So these princes are under the prince of this world. They are princes under the prince of this world. They are the wicked ones under the wicked one. And their intention is not to raise witnesses too. But God's intention is to make us a good witness. You see, this is what I'm teaching. Early church, there are many witnesses that would have stood this thing. When Paul was writing to Timothy, among whom you are professed a good profession among many witnesses. Timothy joined those many already. There are many in the church. When Paul was writing Hebrew, there are many sons that should be taken to the word of glory or to the word of salvation. Many witnesses. Many witnesses of a good profession. What are those many witnesses? Men that were perfect. Men that were godly. Men that were already using the law or the law of life in Christ Jesus. Men that have apprehended that which is in Christ Jesus. And now, they are supposed to have vessels to start looking for the thing, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So the first thing is to be a good witness. Then you want to be a good witness and become the good witness. The good witness. You know, the gospel is with good. The good tidings. Or the good tidings that publisher peace. And there's one need that bring the good tidings of good that publisher salvation. So salvation, glory, are good tidings of good. Where godliness is good tidings that publisher peace. It's from good to good and to good. So God wants to raise good witnesses. But you have to know that before we have become good witness, creation, we have the first good witness. We are first witness of God. And God looked and they were very good. Invisible things of good. They witness to the created things, witness to invisible things of God. They witness to eternal power and Godhead at their various strengths. So he shows what water, sea, tree can witness as good witness of God is lower to what principality, power, might, and dominion can witness. God created some angels. He called them principality, power and might, and dominion. So, but there's another class. They are greater in power and might. The Bible says, where are angels which are greater in power and might? So some angels are power, principality, power, might, dominion. But there are a company of angels. What power and might has? They have a more much inside. So God created some angels, they are power. God created some angels, they are might. But God not created some angels that are really angels, that are spirits. They have everything that might and power has. They have them in greater proportion. And man is making a little lower than the angels. And the angels that we are making a little lower than principality. So it shows that if these angels are greater, it shows that their witnesses about God are greater. This thing, look, I thought this thing. Look, I said, he said, if the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. So it's not only the witness of God are greater. Even among this creation of God, as the creation are greater in the arrangement, so is the greater of their witnesses. You see, that's why when you read the book of Job, Job was a man that lived in the day of living so. So you will know that how did Job know about stars? Without stars. So you know that these men, they have breakthrough into things that talk them about good. They are trying to show about the good witnesses of God. Start we are witness to some good things. So the more the things greatly higher, moving from the earth into firmament property, and from firmament they move into the more good they are. They are becoming more good or more refined good. You can have a goat, but that goat is fine. That's why they calibrate goat in carats. How more they are refined. And what is it to refine? How much you extract debt. How much dross and gross you have taken away from it. That's how more beautiful they are. So good increases as you are sent up. So Michael, as he who is like God, you see, he can capture a figure of God better than a principality because of the arrangements that is in him. So this being our witnesses, they are witnesses.
And that's why sometimes in your meeting they come to come and witness. They come because they are witnesses. But God doesn't want to raise witnesses amongst angels. God wants to raise witnesses amongst men. And God wants to raise witnesses of different kinder of good. Faith is good. Hope is a better good than faith. Charity is good. But charity is a much more better good than hope. And then the greatest of the good is charity. The greatest of the good is charity. So when you move on charity and you move into fervent love of the brethren, it's better than charity. Because this charity is a fervent charity. So fervent charity is better than charity. So if it's the greater, then there's another greater one than charity, which is fervent charity. So as you move on, you come on until you attain. So that is good to be attaining until you attain to a good. We say, God is good. But God is good. It's different from every array of good that you have been journeying into. Lord, we just thank you for how you have blessed us tonight. Thank you because you are raising those who profess good professions. I honor you, my Father. I thank you for your spirits. Thank you for your breath. Thank you for your light. Thank you for understanding. Thank you because you are changing us. You are delivering soul from the knowledge of good and evil. And you are redeeming men from the plague of sin and death. And from the bondage of corruption. You are delivering also the grossly battle of the student of God. We give you praise, our Father. We bow our knee to you. We say, Father, thank for giving us good things. Thank for giving us good things. Giving us godliness. Giving us divine life. Thank you for giving us good and better. We honor you, Jesus. That will become a weakness of a good and the good things of God. Holy, holy is your name. Thank you for giving us good conscience and the perfect conscience. We love you, our Father. Thank you, Father. We love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.